You are listening to a TED Talk by Brian Stevenson. The name of it is We Need to Talk About an Injustice. And we picked that one this morning for you because we've been, like many in the country, disturbed about what's going on in Ferguson, Missouri. And there was a march this weekend in New Orleans about that. Ferguson-related protest march through New Orleans affirms value of lives. That's in the NOLA.com, Times-Picayune. Now, as a mom, it's hard to understand what, you know, the mom must be going through at that point. And I was at, so I'm white from northern Louisiana, and of course, you know, the topic comes up over Thanksgiving. And it was disturbing to hear some opinions. But for me, and my co-host here says this is a big responsibility to talk about, but I just feel compelled to share that as a mom, I have a six-year-old little boy who's blonde and blue-eyed, and I have no fear of him being persecuted by the police. If he was a black and a teenager, I would be terrified to let him out, because it seems that repeatedly people are getting away with killing black, unarmed black teenagers for no other reason than just being black and a teenager. Anyway, that was my takeaway from the situation, and I felt compelled to talk about a little injustice this morning. And we're going to play a little thing, New Orleans Circle, for Mike Brown in just a moment.
I want to give thanks to the deities, Ashe. I want to give thanks to Asesia, Mother Earth, whose air we breathe, whose food we eat, and whose land we walk upon. We say Ashe. We want to give thanks to our ancestors.
America, if my name is part your name, so much so, in fact, that you could fit me inside you. If I am Eric, a 6-foot-tall, 300-pound brown man, skin Mississippi mud, voice Italian accent that is any New York native, does my perfect blend of melting pot miscegenation not garner enough respect for you to not choke me to death in broad daylight, to not matador your manic nightmares of me out of plain view if I am Sean? With wedding bells ringing in my very near future, will it buy me enough time for you not permanently alter my chances that are happily ever after if I am Michael, meaning messenger of God, and am born brown, but my message is muted by the bullets of a white cop before it ever gets the chance to mature? Does anyone hear the body drop, or does it just rot like a postmodern dream deferred into a burr of concrete? And what else is new? If I am Oscar, worthy of a glimpse at the main stage of life, will it grant me a nomination of human, or son, or father, or worthy of a next breath and a second chance to kiss my wife and lay my daughter down in bed at night without you puppeteering her nightmares for years to come? Do you sleep well at night knowing that my mother never will? Do you rest peacefully knowing that you deny me the chance to do anything but America? What dark phantoms creep in the underbelly of your dream, huh? What ocean of skeletons tap dance while in your bed at night? What terror do you dress black bodies in? Do we all turn to bullseyes under your scope? How rigid must be my walk?
I've always wanted to be a mother. Growing up, I heard all about the joys of motherhood, from the first day of school to watching your kids graduate. I even looked forward to the apprehension of watching them go on their first dates. I knew I was young, but I figured it couldn't hurt to start planning for something so big so early. But now, I'm 23 years old, and I don't know if I have what it takes to stomach motherhood in this country. See, over the years, America has taught me more about parenting than any book on the subject, has taught me how some women give birth to babies and others to suspects, has taught me that this body will birth kin who are more likely to be held in prison cells than to hold college degrees. There is something about being black in America that has made motherhood seem complicated.
Turn up, don't turn down, we do this for Mike Brown.
Respect and love to our ancestors that left too early. Alfred Redwine, 30,
Alejandro Nieto, 28. Kasim Powell, Ezell Ford, Renisha McBride, Kamani Gray, Timothy Russell, Melissa Williams was shot 137 times. Alan Buford, Rakia Board, Trayvon Martin, Stephen Washington.
You were just listening to a news clip off NOLA.com covering the rally for Mike Brown and general justice for the African-American community.
You're listening to W2L New Orleans News and Views. We wanted to talk a little bit today about the climate change meetings that have been taking place.
Yes, actually today is the first day of the United Nations Intergovernmental Panel on Climate Change meeting happening in Peru. And it just so happens that today is also the deadline for comments to the Environmental Protection Agency over their new rule trying to regulate carbon emissions.
And how would somebody go about making comments?
Well, I recommend you going to epa.com, and I'm sorry, .gov. EPA.gov, and I can pull up the website in just a second for specifically, but you can actually put your comments in online. You can also email them, fax them, probably too late to mail them at this point, but you know, they've made it incredibly easy to submit comments. Now, the EPA did say that they're not interested in a yes or no vote over the rules. What they want is smart, technical, strategic comments based on what they have put out. So the rule is quite long, and if you haven't read it,
Can you summarize a little bit?
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. So what the EPA is trying to do is regulate greenhouse gases from existing power plants in the country, and about a third of our greenhouse gas emissions come from power plants. What they've decided to do is recommend a specific number to each state, and they say, okay, you have to decrease your carbon emissions by this specific number. And they had all these calculations about how they came up with that number, and then they gave recommendations about how they could achieve that number. And the recommendations came in four blocks, what they're calling the building blocks. Building blocks 1, 2, 3, and 4. Building block 1 is about coal. Building block 2 is about nuclear. Building block 3 is about renewables. And building block 4 is about energy efficiency. Yes. So, so with coal, what they want to do is suggest that the coal plants decrease the amount of heat that they generate. And if you ever think about, like, when you're trying to make, if you ever go for a jog, what do you generate besides sweat?
Heat.
Heat.
A lot of it.
And that heat's just kind of wasted. You're just, you know, it's just emitting out into the universe. But the coal plant, the heat is actually what makes power. They capture the heat. And they make steam, basically, and that generates the turbines. So if you're wasting heat, you're wasting power. And there are technologies to capture that heat and turn it back into power. But that can be expensive. It can be difficult to do. There's some controversy over decreasing pollution and increasing efficiency. Sometimes if you decrease pollution, you lose efficiency. So there's some give and take there. There's going to be thousands and thousands of trees, I think, spent on this rulemaking. And the Alliance for Affordable Energy will be submitting comments today. And I just wanted to share a couple of things.
Thank you.
Okay. Well, one, we teach the EPA about Louisiana's cognitive dissonance. Have you ever heard of that?
I understand cognitive dissonance, yeah.
Okay, so what we say is the Alliance asserts that the EPA's Clean Power Plan will greatly benefit Louisiana by creating new jobs, new sources of revenue, increasing demand for natural gas, decreasing air pollution, improving public health, and most importantly, safeguarding our coastal community by limiting the pollution that causes sea level rise and stronger storms. Louisiana, particularly coastal wetlands, is highly vulnerable to the impacts of climate change, yet we cannot rely on our state leaders to act rationally. Our coast is eroding at an astonishing rate, and the state has a good plan to stem the loss. That would be the state master plan. However, according to our state scientists, we can only build wetlands if sea levels stay at a manageable increase of 1.5 feet over the next 50 years. In spite of this hard fact, our state senators, governor, secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality, and members of our Public Service Commission are prepared to fight carbon emission regulations. We call this cognitive dissonance. The secretary of the Department of Environmental Quality, Secretary Hatch, recently sent a letter to EPA claiming, and I quote, LDEQ opposes EPA's proposed rule because it unequivocally exceeds the authority provided to EPA and risks undermining our state's economic development while providing questionable and unsubstantiated environmental benefit. So the secretary of our Department of Environmental Quality doesn't understand why limiting carbon emissions would be good for our environment.
Okay.
I know.
Well, yeah, I'm speechless. So have they, the official kind of statements that he's provided is this quote that you just read?
Yeah, it's actually Terry Hatch is a woman, and she is apparently just doing the governor's bidding on fighting carbon regulations, that they are putting short-term economic development in front of long-term economic sustainability. So what that means is Louisiana really can't protect our economic interests if we don't have a coast. And we're losing those coastal wetlands at a pretty astonishing rate. One statistic is a football field every 45 minutes of land. We've lost 2,000 square miles so far.
So this is like a short view rather than a long view of what investment needs to be made in the coast and in the communities that live on the land.
Yes. So what they're saying is we need a lot of industry to come to Louisiana to create jobs and increase tax revenue. And that's not wrong. It's just that the industries will use a lot of fossil fuels, which increases carbon emissions, which impacts our coast. So over the long term, Louisiana will ultimately lose out. Now, there could be a way to develop Louisiana in a more sustainable way, but our leaders just are not interested at all in having that kind of conversation. Mm-hmm. It's tough. So
do we want to talk about our elections that are happening this Saturday?
Oh, yes, we do.
What a great segue.
Speaking of, Senator Landrieu and Bill Cassidy, Representative Bill Cassidy, are in a fight to the finish.
They sure are. The information from the Secretary of State is that early voting, which had just ended, it was last week, is down by 10%. There is an increase of registered Republican voters that have done early voting. But on the whole, people are voting less than they did in the November elections. The difference is that we're looking at a Saturday vote rather than a Tuesday, so more people are going to be available to get to their polling stations. So what we're looking at in Orleans Parish is, again, the Senate runoff and a couple other judges and also the school millage.
Mm-hmm. That's right. Mm-hmm. Our school's our vote.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I see that you have pulled up a blog on a voting guide.
Yes,
so.
Another collaborative anti-oppression voting guide.
Okay, so it's Bill Cassidy, Republican, Mary Landrieu, the Democrat. This voting guide doesn't seem to be favorable to either. Is that the case with voters across the state?
Well, I don't know. Both candidates tried to pull the, like, Texas pipeline, the tar sands pipeline, the Keystone kind of thing in their respective current roles in Washington. So Mary Landrieu had tried to pull a Senate, like, thing to get it through and failed. Bill Cassidy also tried to do that in the House and failed. Seems more like theatrics to get winning votes. But we are looking at two politicians that are in it deep with the oil companies here. So it's hard to make a recommendation, I think, on either representative when those interests carry more weight than that of, you know, their represented people.
Yes. Well, Senator Landrieu does accept the science of climate change. I've actually had that conversation with her myself. I don't know about Bill Cassidy, but I would imagine that he's strongly on the other side of the science. But if you're, you know, you can just vote straight up party lines. If you're Republican, Bill Cassidy. If you're a Democrat, Mary Landrieu. It seems like what people are going to do.
Yeah. Yeah. The other things that we are voting on, we have the Public Service Commission. So last month we had Forrest Wright in the studio talking with us more about his role in challenging the incumbent Eric Skrmetta for the Public Service Commission. Again, we're only one of 12 states where we get the opportunity to vote this. Otherwise, they're usually, appointed by other politicians. This is a really tricky group because they have power over water and energy and telecommunications. We talked with Mr. Wright about, we talked about the phone charges.
Prison phone charges, mm-hmm. which has been a hot topic, particularly in the northern part of the state. That phones, if you're incarcerated, the amount that you have to pay to make a phone call is very, very expensive. Everybody understands that. But the actual cost of making a call isn't really that expensive. So the phone company is making, I don't even know how much, 300-400% profit off of those phone calls. Now, the one side of the debate says that the prison needs the extra income off those phone calls in order to monitor the calls and to fill other budget holes, because prisons are kind of chronically underfunded. But the other side says incarcerated people, in order to have a lower rate of recidivism, which is a lower rate of returning to prison, that they need to maintain connections outside of prison with their friends and family. So it's definitely a hot topic and something that WTUL News and Views has been following closely. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, in the Public Service Commission, not everyone will get to vote. The runoff is only for District 1, and that is basically the river parishes. Parts of Orleans will be able to vote, but not all. The maps are very squiggly, let's say.
Yeah, and if you wanted to get a ballot for yourself for where you live, you can go to Go Vote and look at their mobile apps and their website. And if you enter your address in, it'll give you a sample ballot. You could fill it out and even print it so that you have your quick cheat sheet. Thankfully, we're not going to have as many things to vote on in this election. It was a little bit hard to get in and out of the voting booth in 3 minutes last month.
Yes, it was. And then they didn't have the I voted sticker.
Some of them did. Some of them did. Not mine.
Mine didn't. Yeah. I was very disappointed. And then I realized, using stickers to encourage my son to do something is actually probably effective.
That's very effective. Yeah, use that all the time.
Okay, so what is this proposition on school maintenance?
Right, so it's a millage is a percentage of our property taxes in Orleans Parish that would be dedicated toward a certain fund. We have existing millage that has been created, I think it was in the 90s, to fund major repairs on our public school buildings. This would be roofs, HVAC, and that needs to be renewed. We need a new millage and we need to vote on it. The Orleans Parish School Board actually was split on the decision of whether to bring this to voters during this election or not. So one of their hesitations, of course it's not about being hesitant about having funds for fixing schools. One of their hesitations was the fact that our taxpayer money from this millage would be going toward repairs on schools that Orleans Parish School Board is actually not managing.
Is that the charter schools?
The charter schools, the Recovery School District would be taking part in managing taxpayer money for repairs. You know, the Orleans Parish School Board is a group of elected local officials who have local power and control over the schools, whereas the Recovery School District is not elected and it's not local.
Interesting. So we're voting on funding local schools that aren't managed by our local school board.
Mm-hmm.
Now, not to be the devil's advocate, but our local school board doesn't have the best reputation.
Right, and a lot of the charter schools that have the opportunity, they've phased up, they've improved enough that they can go back to the Orleans Parish School Board. They've been choosing instead to maintain management with the Recovery School District. Some quotes I've read had the sentiment of like, you know, we've been working with Recovery School District. We know how it works. We know the people that we're working with. Like, I don't know the people at Orleans Parish School Board. That would be a big change. And a level of trust, I think, is missing.
Interesting. The millage would be 4.97 mils on the dollar of the assessed value of property within New Orleans. Now, that would approximately be, what is it, about $15 million a year for the period of 10 years. So essentially, the schools would have about $15 million a year to do repairs. And that sounds like a lot, but when you start talking about repairing some of these older schools, it can be incredibly expensive. I would imagine that $15 million a year would pay for maybe, I don't know, three schools to be get repaired.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you look at the school over in Boomtown on Leonidas, you know, that is a perfect example of a school that needs to be repaired and I think returned to the community, that it's just been an eyesore in the middle of the community for so long that I think transforming an eyesore into a place, a productive place with children and, you know, laughter and play
I don't think that this is enough money to be repairing schools such as the one you're describing. It, like, one of the schools that's a real proponent of this bill is the Lusher School that needs its roof repaired and has needed its roof repaired for a long time. So what you're looking at are schools that are inhabited by students and teachers and administration that have had these lists of maintenance just that haven't been tended to. So I don't even know that this mill is actually a pretty conservative amount for those existing maintenance issues.
Interesting. Well, it's up to you, the voters, on Saturday, December 6th. Go in, yay or nay, for Public Service Commission, our senatorial race, two judge runoffs. That would be Domestic Judge Division 2 between Janet Ahern and Monique Burial, and Judge Juvenile Court Section E.
between Freddie Charbonnet and Desiree Cook Calvin.
Mm-hmm. And again, you can go to GoVote, GeauxVote, for more information about your specific address.
And polling station. Well, we are at the top of the hour, 9 o'clock, and we will